Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast, the show about the show within the show. This is the podcast about the radio show, and you can always get it on the DA Show podcast feed, but also it has its own podcast feed. Search Permission Granted, and it's available inside the free Odyssey app as well. Just like our podcasts are, One Giant Step, Mraz's Giants Pod, getting into the draft. Also, New York Accent, my podcast featuring long-form interviews. That's all available inside the free Odyssey app and everywhere that you get your podcasts. We're going to start with the Decade of DA clip today that we played, you versus Bobby Valentine.
Well, even with Mraz being the guy that produced it. So, you know, the blind squirrel and all that. We've got James Ward on the controls, who recently announced that he intends to be miserable for a long time. Jay Berman on the updates. He's already miserable. And Mraz, who can't be miserable. He's not smart enough to understand why he should be. So it works out well for him. We've got Bobby Valentine tonight, Mike Piazza's manager with the Mets, when Piazza, of course, is entering the Hall this weekend. Bobby is now AD at Sacred Heart, which is a small college in Connecticut, I believe.
What do you think he's doing as the AD of Sacred Heart? You think he is scheduling the girls' soccer match against Quinnipiac?
No, he's there for face and name value. He's
exactly.
Not doing anything.
So he has agreed to it once. You have called him 5 times, left a voicemail, texted him,
yes,
and then emailed, and he didn't even reference the fact that he had missed you that first time.
100%, which is, okay, this guy's a weirdo. Fine. But you know what? Now it's the second time he has the email. He's coming on. I call him again. JJ on the air, 7 o'clock, promotes him. Once, twice, 3 times, nothing.
Unreal.
At this point, I don't even text him. I don't even leave a voicemail. I don't do anything. I wait until I find out on Thursday that he's agreed to come on with Pharrell on the bench and Scott Farrell. And he tapes with Farrell at about 9:30 at night before his show started the next night on Friday. At this point, I've had it. I've been enraged. I wasn't apologized the first time. I wasn't apologized the second time. He told me not once, not twice that he would come, but twice that he'd come on. So I decided, you know what? I am never trusting him to come on a show again in my life, whether it's producing for you or whether hopefully, you know, one day I get the host. I don't want Bobby V anywhere near his show that I'm working on. So I sent him an email hoping I could really stick it to him. Should I read the email?
Yes.
Hey, Bobby, not sure what the reasons were. But saying okay to come on not once, but twice, and stiffing us both times was pretty unprofessional.
Wow!
I had thought a lot higher of you, but I guess I was wrong.
Wow!
If you can't do a radio spot, it isn't a big deal. But just tell the producer so they don't get screwed over by not booking somebody else as a guest instead.
Wow.
I said, even after not answering your phone Wednesday or Thursday at the scheduled time, you didn't follow up either morning with so much as a quote-unquote sorry. It happened Wednesday, and I gave you the benefit of the doubt, but Thursday too, question mark? Thanks for nothing. Period. Send.
You win. Max, myself, and Joe D are all giving you a round of applause.
Standing
O. Max has given you a standing O.
Of course.
And
now,
no response.
Now no response from him. It was quickly okay in the phone numbers. Now I get no response.
So why do you think he did Pharrell's show?
Apparently he knows Pharrell a little bit,
okay,
which is fine. But from what I gather, you know, he did it, but he wasn't his jolly self. All it comes down to is this man has no respect for anybody else's time, and he said yes, like okay, if I answer, fine, I'll do it. But if I don't, who cares?
Right.
And that is so selfish, and you're a pig to do that to people who work in this industry. Because, again, there are the little guys like me trying to, you know, impress the bosses. Oh, look, I booked Mike Piazza's former manager. And you know what? If I didn't get you, fine. I would have moved on and got another ex-teammate, but I didn't. Because I took your word as its own, and all he cared about it was his self. Why doesn't he go back to Japan and manage the freaking Carp and leave the rest of us alone? Enough. What a jerk.
Nippon Ham Fighters?
Whatever. He's a jerk.
You've been trashed.
Yeah, man. He is going to only do what helps Bobby V. He's only... That's the thing, man. He is so about Bobby V. It's insane.
Selfish.
He's so self-indulged. He is so self-centered. He is so phony.
And again, if you couldn't do it, either do what half the guests do when I reach out and don't answer me at all, or say, hey, I'd love to, but I can't, a little late. He said yes. You don't say yes if you're not going to do it, and do it twice, and then never apologize. It's the biggest selfish jerk move you could do.
Now that we've turned 10 as a network and the DA show here at CBS Sports Radio turned 10 as well back in January, we're using the year to play back some iconic moments. And we have never played the audio that we played on Wednesday's show because it was originally buried by the bosses. I don't even really remember that part of it. I remember how mad you were. The backstory is you had booked Bobby Valentine when I was out. And Chris Moore was hosting because Bobby V could talk about Piazza getting into the Hall of Fame that weekend. He blew you off. Then John Jastrzemski, JJ, was filling in for me later in the week. You had rebooked him. He blew you off again. So you went on your screed. You wrote him a mad email. We read the email on the air, and it got back to him at Sacred Heart. Somebody was listening that knew him or whatever and told him that you had called him a pig. That was the deal breaker. Had you not used that phrase, do you think he would have called up the bosses and tried to get you fired?
I think so, because, look, let's be honest. You also said that he does nothing at Sacred Heart. That was a big part of it. But I think that he needed the punchline word that he was going to harp on. And what he harped on the most in our meeting, let's put in quotes back there, was that, you know, how dare I call him a pig? But he probably would have focused on something else where, how dare you, you know, call him out? You don't know if I could have, you know, he could have come up with anything. Emergency, that's why I couldn't come on. But pig, really, for whatever reason, he was really bothered by that word. And even listening back, I get the lack of professionalism it takes to call somebody a pig. But is it really that offensive to call somebody a selfish pig? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he was just not used to being criticized anymore because he had been retired for a number of years, so he hasn't really... Because if he's a manager, I can't imagine he would have thin skin to where he would call to try to get somebody fired for calling him a name.
Yeah, walking back to dugouts after bad bullpen moves, you got to hear much worse in baseball stadiums. Yeah. Especially in New York when he managed the Mets. So, to me, it remains one of the most fascinatingly puzzling moments of my life and career that Bobby Valentine, the former manager of the Mets that won the NL in 2000, I was important enough that he would call my bosses and demand my livelihood be taken from me. Like, that is kind of wacky.
And you had to get called back into an office to listen to him on a conference call.
Oh.
Did they organize it that day's schedule when you came in, hey, we're going to have Bobby V on the phone so we can get this hashed out?
Or blindsided.
It just happened, or did they know they were going to bring you in when he was on the phone?
I never actually got confirmation on this because, again, I walked in not even knowing that Bobby V had known. It was like I put my bag down. One of the old bosses at the time said, hey, you need to come down to the office. And that's never a good – it wasn't a good tone, and that's never a good feeling. And I went back there. The door closes, which is another –
bad sign.
The other boss is sitting there in a chair kind of giving me the look. And I would say the other boss sitting in the chair is usually somebody that was more in my corner. And I said, oh, no. And I, at that point, I'll be honest with you, I remember still not knowing what it was about. Because I think it was like a couple days clear. And they said, you know, we have Bobby Valentine on the line here. And I actually think I mumbled the words, here we go. And they explained their thing. Bobby, you know, you want to talk and let us know what, you know, show him what the deal was. And he goes over his version of events. And I hear him blatantly lying about things. Like, blatantly lying about things that I have text proof of. That he didn't say or did, you know, he didn't do, to the point where I actually thought there's a realistic chance I am losing my job, so I'm going down swinging and I'm going to expose you in front of them. And I actually think that, I don't know if they were going to fire me, but it did save me in many ways because they saw Bobby V they said as soon as he hung up the phone, you didn't do anything wrong. You know, just watch, you can't say pig. Don't ever mention Bobby V on the air again, which is how the tapes got. Don't ever play that again. And just, as far as Bobby's concerned, you don't exist, he doesn't exist, was basically how it ended. Because I don't think Bobby really was taking my apology, too, because I wasn't really giving him one. All I said was, I'm sorry for calling you a pig. But he was not sorry for anything.
So he was trying to play it like he had never guaranteed you anything. There was extenuating circumstances, whatever.
I think actually one of his excuses was his phone never rang, or his phone didn't work, or it never rang. I lied about calling him. He sat there and waited around all night for my call. And I think that's when I also pulled up my cell phone and you could see like my text where I said, hey, we're calling from the hotline. You aren't answering. Like, I think I was doing that in real time. So that was my rebuttal back. Well, you clearly were able to text me back all these things. How come you didn't answer that when I called you if supposedly your phone was ringing? Because he didn't ignore that. And that was like another big smoking gun that he was lying. So it was like that thing. Like, kind of these little things are like remembering now. I'm bringing back up. I had him dead to rights.
And so did they offer you a chance to explain your side? Or he was going off on you and lying and you just blurted out, hey, I got the text messages. Here's what you texted me.
I never got like a formal, this is my version of events. He was going, I sat there and said, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Here, you know, here's what I'm reading with the text. And then I got like a bunch of like hands, like just calm down. They kind of let him blow off his steam. And it kind of ended with, I think I had to say, I was sorry for calling him a pig, which is just a funny sentence.
Yeah.
He would not apologize for anything. And then basically was talking about his relationship with the company and the station that, you know, take care of him or I'm not taking care of you guys anymore. In other words, but he hung up the phone, I think, thinking I was going to lose my job still, even after that apology. He was, I don't care. He was a bad guy, not a good guy. Screw him. I still feel that way.
He hung up the phone thinking you might be canned or you were canned. And so that's why the bosses wanted to make sure you just laid low and stayed quiet so that he could pretend that he had gotten you fired.
Right. He feels like he, the old, let him feel like he won something, you know, I basically go back, work your evening producing job and just, you know, neither seen nor heard from. And really, it wasn't until like 2 or 3 years later that I was even given the opportunity to host on the air. After that, it was like, I think I might have been benched for a little bit. I think I might have been riding up a little bit.
Really?
I thought I was kind of doing a good job with you when I was, I remember sending demos at that time. And I basically was your producer at night with the DA show, and that's all you're going to do kind of deal for, I think, 2 years. And I think they were afraid of exposing me a little bit. They didn't want Bobby V knowing I was climbing in it.
Do you think it was they were scared that he would know that you were not punished or fired? Or do you think it was that they were worried you might say something else like that and they could get in hot water again?
I do think that what's called the main boss at the time was afraid if I was willing to call Bobby V a pig as a 29, 30-year-old kid, what maybe I do need to mature a little bit. You know, I am not in a position career-wise to be calling anybody a pig. So it could have been a combination of maybe in reality, is Bobby V going to notice I'm on the air? No, but at the same time, let's calm down with how much Mraz is climbing a ladder here.
So that was 7 years ago. That was the summer of 2016.
Yeah, people will never forget.
And now he is one of the band names of the show. We always kind of forget what the official list is. He's definitely on it. Richard Justice, baseball writer, certainly on it.
Yeah.
Because he once upon a time told
Joe DeLuisio,
who had booked him, I don't wait for anybody or I'm not waiting through this.
I could close my eyes and I know I'm helping my dad with the pool filter using a summer day off when Joe called me to tell me that had happened. That is just still remarkable.
Yeah. We had had him booked, let's just say, for 8:20 at night. And at 8:20 coming back from break, I did about 90 seconds on the Warriors at that time. And they were red hot in the playoffs or something like that. And he hung up during my 90 seconds on the Warriors. And he, when Joe called him back and said, I think you got disconnected, you know, we'll get you on with DA. He's like, don't bother. I don't wait.
I don't wait. And
don't
I don't
keep
do,
me waiting.
And I don't do a basketball lead-in when you're doing a baseball spot. He was trying to produce how you should lead into his spot.
Yeah, don't do basketball ahead of my spot or something. We were like, wow.
And by the way, we've noticed baseball writers in general. Justice might have been the worst. There's something there with baseball writers.
Very prickly.
Yes.
Very entitled. So he's banned. Of course, he who shall not be named is banned. And
they're a fringe. Oh, Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut.
We never have.
That's the official four.
That's the official.
That's the Mount Rushmore.
Right. Now, Jack Kay and Art Garfunkel not banned, but may have banned our show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they would never properly appear on the show again, but we didn't ban them.
Right. They banned our show. Right. Exactly.
They just refused to come on.
We're on their banned list.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great one. That's just a great one. So
Art Garfunkel.
Yeah, didn't
we had Art Garfunkel on a Football Friday.
We never have rock legends on or music legends on. We just happen to have them on and did not like my line of questioning. So that brings us to having Bogues back. Of course we love having Bogues back. I mean, the show is seamless. It's fun. It's funny. He's great. But he also, timing-wise, nailed it because we were so fed up with Schwartz that anybody today would have been a conquering hero. Bogus comes back after 10 days in Ireland, and we're like, thank God. What was it you think about the Schwartz appearances?
Too many at once. I think I want to make this very, because I almost feel uncomfortable. We genuinely like Peter Schwartz, the person. We like that he does kind of embrace what we make fun of with him. But even with that, sometimes Schwartz can't help himself in realizing what the audience wants to hear and what's relevant. And I think it becomes, I think tiring is the word. It's just, All right, okay, we're doing this again three times while Bogus was out. And it's the same thing. And it's just, I don't know. It's like how many of the same, you know, episode of a show can you watch time in and time out? You got to put that, you know, old VHS on the shelf. And in a couple months, we'll dust it off, blow it, put it back in, and we'll be in the mood for it again. I don't think we don't want Schwartz ever again, but
no,
you just, we need a break.
It was Schwartz overload, you think?
Yeah, that's it. It was just too much. You don't really get a Caserta overload. You don't get a Lopresti overload. But there does become, there's Schwartz fatigue for sure. So.
Schwartz fatigue.
There is.
He's getting a lot of shifts, though, around here. Seems like everybody must be out all the time because I see him around the office every day. He's back today.
Yeah, and prominent shifts, too. I mean, you want to talk about falling backwards. Yeah, now I just heard him, too, mumble to one of the bosses, need a word with you. He feels big about himself.
Is that right?
He does, yeah. I mean, he's on a high horse, getting fenders.
He took a run at Jack Stern over the week.
And see, that's where Schwartz still helps himself. Because he knows, even if to avoid being an enemy of the show, I need to go overboard on crushing the other enemies of the show.
Oh, good one.
He did it with Shep, and now he's starting to feel like, okay, Shep's not really an enemy of the show. Let me pivot. They do a lot of anti-Jack stuff. Not only am I anti-Jack, I'm more anti-Jack than any of them. And that's the way to keep the fans on his side and, I think, us on his side. It's well done politics by Schwartz.
I didn't even think about it in that way, but you're right. If you want to avoid being the enemy, find somebody else to be the enemy.
Or at least find, yeah, not somebody random. It's got to be somebody that he knows is also.
And what's
like, if Jack Stern jumped in with us, see, I don't even think Jack has this right, and was just like, can you believe these updates with Schwartz? Oh, enough with the ranch dressing. We might get a kick out of it and laugh and go, you know, Jack, you're not wrong there.
Right.
So Pete threw first. He was right. And now we're all Team Pete on that.
They say the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes.
So that's what Pete is trying to do. Make sure that he's an enemy of Jack.
Yeah.
Which will always make him a friend of us.
It's that. That's right. That's how you build allies. It's great politics by Schwartz. It absolutely is.
We played the clip of Jack saying that he hates initials. I forget what his reasoning was. I don't call anybody by initials. I think it's stupid.
And egotistical or something.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to call you by your name. That pisses me off, I think he said.
Happened last Friday, by the way, so it's been in the hopper for a couple of days.
So we are all in agreement that that was a direct shot at me. It couldn't have been coincidental and he just didn't think about me.
No.
I must be in the category.
And look, this is where I think he knows what he's doing. He knew it would get back to us. And ironically, none of us, I think, heard it. I don't think you heard that live, right?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. It was Pete the Body, who was off with Days to Burn, that heard it live, that alerted us to this. And Pete, by the way, also did a follow-up with me yesterday. He said, you still have to pull the Jack audio. And he knew. He wanted to get your thoughts on it. But I think that ultimately, it's too coincidental. You had the initial thing with Francesa. That was a big deal. You're telling me that Jack Stern is that oblivious, working on a show, by the way, that was just following the DA show, to take a run and have this big take on initials? There's no way that's coincidence. And you've also tried to have nice conversations with him, saying, hey, do you see what you're doing wrong? And he's been very resistant to that. So maybe you're a thorn in his side.
So does he not like JR?
Ooh. I hadn't even thought.
I mean,
you know?
I don't even know JR's real name. I only know him as JR.
I'm going to say something now that you say that. I'll give you a little peel back the curtain detective milkshake. Because I've referenced a couple times on the air now that I had the conversation with Jack where he told me he was really upset about the porn star. He played dumb about, like, do you know the bit?
He's upset that a porn star, his favorite one, got married.
Got married. So with that, Jack did admit to me, and this is because there's a long list of everything Jack said, that after that quip, JR basically buried him and didn't let him put his mic on the rest of the show. Now, I don't know if JR actually said that, but he, like, would cut off Jack or not throw to Jack. And Jack basically told me, he goes, JR didn't like that. I could tell he didn't like that. I basically was not allowed on the air the rest of the show or anything. Like, that was it for me. So I wonder if that also was in the back of his mind. Now, the two hosts where he might have thought spurned by, DA and JR, both have initials, and therefore working with Bart Winkler, not BW, led him, you know what, perfect shot to take a shot at these guys. Jack's smarter than he gives off.
You think
definitely.
So?
I think so. I think he has his weird tendencies, as do most people. I think by nature he's a quirky guy. I think he's a very defensive guy that gets a lot wrong, as we know. But I think ultimately, in the chess game of things, he knows what he's doing in the radio world.
Okay. Well, I wish him the best. I wish him great luck.
Very high roady by you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what?
I don't know. We played the audio.
I know, but...
You sat there, you smiled.
Well, you
actually said on the air, I don't know why we're playing this. Which I guess is a shot at him.
Well, it was exactly as you said. What did you say?
On the air or just
yeah,
now?
Yeah, no. On the air, you said something after we played it in it. Oh, you said, hey, if we're going to drag him on the air, then he's allowed to shoot back. And that's absolutely right.
I agree with that.
If every day or every sound check or every whatever, we talk about how much everybody's annoyed by Jack.
Let's go, Jets.
And I can do that right. Dance and the whole thing. And Schwartz can come on the show and trash him relentlessly and say, I'm not showing up to Bob's bar if he's there, all that. Then fair game is fair game. I can't get personal because he took a shot at me. Now, it would be funnier if he actually said it was me. Instead of kind of this vagary about initials.
See, I disagree. I'm not pro-Jack, but I like this approach if this is indeed what he did.
You do.
I'm a fan of subtleties, and I like the subtle, because maybe not everybody listening to the Bart Winkler In for Bill Ryder show listens to our show.
Sure.
So maybe that would be like too like weirdy into like, wait, what's going on? Why does he not like DA? So okay. It's one of those, if you know, you know, okay. Wink moments, and I like that. I appreciate that, because if you're just listening and you don't know, you're like, oh, this guy's weird. He's talking about Justin Bieber's initials. But if you do know and you listen to it, you're like, oh, okay, Jack, okay. I see you. I like it that way.
I would really like to ask him directly, do you mean this about JR as well?
He wouldn't give you a straight answer. I didn't mean that. I didn't even think of you, Damon, when you did that. Well, plus, I call you Damon anyway.
I would ask him, what do you think about JR? Because if he dislikes me, that's one thing. That's understandable. But he shouldn't like JR. Dislike JR. JR's given him opportunities to actually talk on the air.
Unless he dislikes him for that being benched that night.
But what, he's going to suddenly say, I hate initials just the moment that he doesn't get a microphone on JR's show?
Unless he went home that night thinking, I already couldn't stand the DA bit, now it's JR too, and in his mind it just sits there, man, like these freaking initial guys. They don't like me. They're not giving me chances. I've killed Pete for this too. This is part of my reason I always beef with Pete. I'm like, Pete, you want to throw shots at me? The moment we make fun of you, get all sensitive about it. I appreciate
Bilotti,
Jack.
You're talking about
Bilotti. The Jack Stern stuff, I appreciate this.
Yeah, look, if he can take it, he's allowed to dish it. If he dishes it, he needs to be able to take it. If I dish it, I gotta be able to take it. That's the way this whole thing works. But I was a little surprised that Schwartz was so anti-Jack. I mean, we kind of poke fun at Jack, but we don't hate him. I mean, he's a nice enough kid. He's got funny tendencies. But I think Schwartz really actively dislikes him.
And ironically, apparently it starts with how Jack called Peter Schwartz Schwartz. So there's something there
right.
With Jack Stern in names. He doesn't like initials. He didn't like my nickname, so he changed it on his own. He calls Schwartz Schwartz. Schwartz doesn't like that he's addressing him as that. It's not Peter. At its core, there's a lot of odd friction when it comes to Jack Stern and what he calls people. But Schwartz, for some reason, this is where I'm actually pro-Jack again. Schwartz, everybody here is calling you Schwartz. Nobody calls you Peter because Pete, there's a million Petes that work around the office.
I would just, I would offer this to the court.
No, nobody thinks that Jack is a bad guy. We like Jack. He's a character on radio, and we're all a bunch of characters in some way. I'm sure some of this is just cartoonish stick, etc. But there is one smoking gun. The only friction at the radio station is about Jack. Yeah. It's about Jack's relationship with people. Nobody else dislikes anybody. Nobody.
I think the
Well, I shouldn't say that.
A lot of people dislike people, but nobody collectively dislikes the same person the way Jack does. And I think it's for different reasons. Number one, I think there are some people that feel oddly estranged out by him, where it's like, what did he just say? Like, there's just like some strange, like he just has strange conversations. Then there's the other part of it where I don't think people respect and like people that when they are wrong about something or flat out don't know something, fight fire with fire and pretend that we are the ones that have it wrong, which is just happened a lot of times with Jack, with other people besides our show, either factual stuff with sports or like, I don't know, just, you know, pretending he is something, getting called on it and then fighting out of it. The Jets chant. It was the thing in the playoffs. He portrayed himself as a big Ranger fan, kept calling them the Rags, which is like a disrespectful nickname. He comes across as somebody that doesn't really know a lot about sports in a world that we're all supposed to be like sports obsessed fans, while portraying that he's the most knowledgeable about sports. And I think that at its core bothers people.
I could see that. I didn't know that Rangers thing. What, that's a derogatory term for the Rangers?
If you call the Rangers the Rags, it's like an Islanders, Flyers, like they're just like the dish rags. They're like, it's a way to, you know, the Rangers rag thing. So that's like when they're references that, it's somebody who's anti-Ranger. And he portrayed himself as a big Ranger fan and kept saying, like, what a win for our Rags. And it was like, whoa, even Zach Gelb at the time on the air, I remember that issue, like, dude, do you understand? He goes, no, it's just a nickname they have. Like, again, like not acknowledging he might have had that one wrong.
Oh, God. All right, now we wrap up with this. You're having a colonoscopy tomorrow. It comes around noon. Process is going to take a few hours. They say you're going to be able to eat around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock when you get picked up from the hospital.
Yeah.
It is right now 10:41 Eastern time. You have not been supposed to eat since breakfast this morning, 5 o'clock. You did have yourself a little bit of cookies because you couldn't take it anymore. Lauren and Dune cookie during the show. Where's your mind at?
Well, before the last 10 seconds, I was actually doing well. I think the PGP this last hour has really helped me. And I think my thought process of like being distracted has helped. Now that you just kind of slowed it down into that monotone thing, we've stopped talking, I could feel my hunger pains. I'm probably not even as hungry as I think. It's just like, I think I'm that hungry. But look, I'm going to go through waves. There are going to be waves where I got this and waves where I want to curl up into a corner. So we're going to be wrapping this PGP soon. I'm going to edit it. I'm going to post it. I'm going to listen to some kind of podcast or something on the way home. Maybe this podcast. Keep me distracted. And then I'm going to try to divvy up a combination of sleep and lawn cutting until I can get to the hospital tomorrow.
On the show today, to tease you, Bilotti played your long marathon order from Wendy's. And during it, you were sniffing your sneaker and just groaning. Oh, oh.
Yep.
Were you like having hunger pains there?
Yeah, so I was starving. And again, I was telling you, like honestly, my shoe smells bad. I don't really have stinky feet normally, but I've been using these at the gym or whatnot. So they just have like a sweat stink to them. So I was just trying to breathe it in to fight back on being hearing. Like, of course, you hear Asiago Ranch Chicken Club. My mind goes into right what it tastes like. So if I kick that back with smelling my shoe,
okay,
it's got to be a defense mechanism. I might have to sniff dirty underwear tonight. I don't know. I'm sure at some point the shoe loses a little luster. I think this is worse than everybody says when you start drinking that drink at night and then like you have really, you know, your problems coming out the back end or a disaster. I think I'm looking more forward to that. A, distraction. B, I feel like the thickness of that drink might make me less hungry. I think it's right now dealing with the idea of not eating.
Yeah, and somebody tweeted in today that actually will be easier for you because you'll be kind of nauseous from doing all that constantly or taking that shake. So you won't really be hungry or be wanting to eat anything.
Right. So it's going to be hell, but I think it's a better hell than I'm in now.
I would think so. I think being really hungry is the worst sensation to long for. I mean, I guess being thirsty, you need water more than food.
Yeah.
But
it could, but actually can mess with me chemically in the brain if I'm not eating. I just get in a foul mood. But I did do a little research, and it says upon coming out of it, you are supposed to still take it a little slow, maybe some toast or something, because that's, your body is essentially as clean as a whistle inside.
Yeah.
I got to be news for you. You know, I don't eat that long. I don't think the first thing I'm doing is popping some bread in the toaster here. You know, this could be a Chipotle burrito bowl on the way home, which, again, is probably why I should be working from home Friday morning.
Well, we don't have to get too graphic here, but we can be a little bit more descriptive than,
PGP,
than we could be on the radio. The idea here is that a colonoscopy is that you're going to bend over. They're going to put, I guess, a mechanism, a camera up there.
Yeah.
And they're going to poke around to see.
I'll talk to Cap about exactly how that works.
There, but it's going to be a long, I'm sure, kind of like.
It's like a snake you'd put in the toilet, but for the body.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like a pipe cleaner, but yes, yeah. Okay. So you're going in there, there's a little camera, they're going to poke around a little bit. Probably you got a finger in there as well to open things up a little bit, is my guess. I don't know. I
guess it'll be pleasurable at least.
But they want it as clear as possible in there so that there's no blockages, sight lines. They don't want any...
Including color. They were very big even on the liquids. No red, no purple, stuff like that.
Right. So
no dairy, no milk.
It's like having an obscured view seat at... Obstructive view seat at Fenway. You don't want anything in front of your view of them.
Yeah.
So, you'll go... Let's see. About 14 hours or so without supposed to having eaten anything. Then you'll take your shake and then flush the rest of it out.
Yeah, and it's like a couple cup every 20 minutes or something they told me. So I guess it's like the momentum starts building.
What do you think it feels like to be completely emptied? Because we've all have some level of waste, I'm sure, inside our body at all times. You always have food in your body that you're digesting or something in your colon, I'm guessing.
Here's the shitty part about this.
Uh-huh.
It probably should feel amazing, like, wow, I feel really light and clean and like moving, but you're probably so weak from the actions it took to cause that, that you don't appreciate that feeling. So my guess is you probably feel very lethargic and tired while being empty, but you don't get the benefits of like that clean feeling.
You know, there are certain religions that have fasting. Ramadan is a fast.
Yeah.
But none of those fastings include fasting and then taking something to cleanse as much as possible.
Exactly.
It's like double-ended. I mean, I'm sure that there's some processes here that people do digestive cleansing like this, but this is both ends. You're not eating anything, and then you're taking the liquid, and you're flushing everything for more than 24 hours. So that's going to be a dramatic thing for you. I'm very interested in...
Are you? Are you interested?
I'm interested in how...
I'll make sure we FaceTime at about 8 p.m. I'll let you know how it's going. If you're so interested...
The consistency is interesting. How does it start? How does it end? The frequency is interesting.
Well,
colors are interesting, as you're talking about.
So I am actually interested in this, too, and I'm glad you brought this up because I wasn't. And I had Carlo with a K, actually. Here's what I'm interested about. When does it stop? At what point do you know you're clean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess when it just stops going.
Yeah, like because you're going to take that. At some point, I'm going to finish all the milligrams of that.
Yeah.
Crap mixed and with whatever.
At the moment that you stop having to run to the bathroom.
Will there be a moment I know I'm done here? Like there's nothing left to have.
I don't think so.
Because we've all had like stomach viruses where you throw up or whatever, and then you're like, how do I still have stuff in me? You know? Like,
yeah.
Am I going to hit that point where I'm like, are you kidding me? And we made the jokes. Like, am I really going to see, you know, the Houlihan's Brentwood chicken sandwich from 94 in there?
Exactly. Because we all have impacted waste somewhere in our system that probably is there for a while. It's very difficult to totally cleanse everything.
You know, the Pop-Tarts coming down is waving high to the General Sal's that got stuck there next to your liver.
And it goes back and forth and back and forth. And so there's a lot of crooks and crannies that a lot of things get caught in, a lot of bends in the road. So I don't know. I am fascinated to see how this goes because it's dramatic on your body.
Yeah, and I got to do this on my own too. I've already my wife's already sent me the picture. The sheets have been put down on the couch downstairs. There's a separate bathroom. She doesn't want to be woken up all night. Just I'm staying away from the whole family down there tonight. Nobody wants to hear my noises or smell my smells.
I just don't know how you're going to get through dinner time of theirs. The 7 o'clock window when they eat or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. Now, that is around the time I'm supposed to start my process of downing that. So that might be the time I say goodnight to everybody and I head downstairs. Because from what I understand, it comes fast and furious and is, you know, you may not want to walk back upstairs because, you know, something could fall out.
Now, you're going to take off tomorrow, obviously. You'll have the colonoscopy, then you'll do the show from home on Friday. We'll have to get the full report card Friday morning.
Yeah, and you know what? Not for nothing. Also, with Pete with Days to Burn, I could burn Friday.
You could.
I could burn, and it would be understandable. But I, you know, I feel like I should be here. It's a Friday. The playoffs are going on. So I, you know, hey, we have the ability to do this show from home, and I'm doing it. I just want that to be known. Whenever we make jokes about hard hat guys, just remember, I once pooped myself on the air. This, I'm going to be putting new food into my body. I might still have remnants of it. And I'm still going to put on a microphone and edit an epic fail and work on Friday. So Days to Burn, my ass is going to burn. Screw you, Pete.
Well, do you think it's time for all of us to take that new attitude of Pete's and just Days to Burn, that we're just, let's just get more flippant with just, yeah, I'm taking this day off, taking that day off.
You don't know this, but it's a perfect segue to Side B, because at the end of Side B, I will tackle this, and whether it was in the back of Bogus's mind as he extended his Ireland trip into a week number two, knowing that the czar of days off has told us he has days to burn, but maybe you're right. If we're supposed to follow our leader, right? If the leader of days off is telling us he's got days to burn in March, why? Why am I doing this? I'm sure Pat Boyle could have worked Friday.
I was thinking about how this quote will follow Pete for the rest of his life, and I was trying to think of other similar quotes, and the closest thing I could find, I could
Lou Gehrig? Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth?
That's good, but I was thinking more Richard Nixon, I am not a crook.
Okay, that's also good, you know, more negative like that.
You'll never think of anything else with Richard Nixon besides, I am not a crook.
Yeah, you're right. It's Palmero at Congress. You're right.
But there's not a direct quote from Palmero.
That's true. The finger is what we always go to. It's the finger wave. You're right. This is a direct quote. When Pete retires or we will always remember, I've got days to burn. I don't even remember anything Pete's said other than that.
I've got days to burn. Again, we talked about this last week at the PGP, I think. But maybe it was on the air. But that it is such an inflammatory, literally and figuratively, word to use about things that we all fret over, that we all worry about, that we all harshly consider with our spouses, our loved ones, our airline travel, our this, our that, or can we work here? We are all so consumed by not being frivolous with days off.
Yeah, I might work with a load in my pants Friday. Yeah.
And we are all consumed by not being frivolous with days off. To hear the phrase, I've got days to burn, it's like listening to a millionaire say, or a billionaire, I've got money to burn.
Right.
All of us pay so much attention to all of our finances, and hear somebody going like, you can light this on fire, it doesn't change my life.
Yeah, the company doesn't check my days. They gave me too many. I don't know what to do with all my days. I'm just going to take random days off in March. How could I use all these days I've been given? You guys sweat out your days off. It'll never be forgotten.
It'll last forever.
It will.
And the newsroom has talked about that quote.
And it really will hurt Pete down the line, because when it comes time for the holidays and people, you know, giving their days off, hey, I'm going to take this day around Thanksgiving or whatever, if he pushes back on anybody, hey, you know, you're only giving me 2 weeks notice, not four, I think the proper response to Pete is, sorry, Pete, didn't know what to do. I have days to burn. And I think that's the ending argument. And it's going to create more work for Pete down the line. I really do.
Or if he starts nickel and diming people on how many days off they have.
Yeah, you sure you have that many left? What do you mean? I thought you had days to burn in March. I haven't seen you in a while. Yeah, so it's a tough one. Tough pill to swallow. You got to, your words can come back to haunt you. Like calling Bobby V a pig.
That's right. That's right. There's a price to be paid. Well, it's nearly 11 o'clock Eastern time. Mraz has to make it 24 hours plus from this moment of not eating. How will that go? Find out on the next installment of... Bogus said we needed a nickname for this, something that rhymes with marathon, or I couldn't come up with anything.
What?
Tracking how long it was going to take.
Oh.
Tracking your status throughout this fast.
Hmm. The semicolon?
Yeah, I thought about that, but that doesn't really make sense in terms of what you're trying to do. There's nothing semi about it. This is full on.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Some kind of cleanse word, some kind of sprint word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's Side A. Here's Bogues on Side B.
How did do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de-do-de
from the island of Ireland. How are you, Bogues?
Yeah, that's definitely how it's pronounced over there. I'm doing really well. And speaking of do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
The next 28 hours for you might be my favorite Sean storyline of all time.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm a champion. I'm going to battle through.
Professional.
And I'm going to handle my business before my big colonoscopy, or as DA called it, a colonoscopy.
Yeah, that's definitely not an alternate pronunciation.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start off with this, Bogues.
Yeah.
Show-wise, did you see anything at all from the show over basically the 10 days you were gone?
I did see a couple of things. I will say this. The time difference, 5 hours ahead of New York, is a really good time for the show.
Afternoon drive.
Or middays, really. I mean, I kind of wish the show was normally 11 to 3.
11 to 3, okay. That's the time, yeah.
That's a good window. Not getting up super early. You get home theoretically in time for dinner or lunch number two. You can maybe get to baseball practice, take the daughter to dance recital or dance class.
So you'd see us on Twitter from 11 to 3 or
something?
Yeah,
so I saw a couple of Caserta. I saw these singing. I saw the crash test dummies singing.
Okay, that was a big topic, yep.
I saw some Schwartz-isms. I definitely got some tweets of don't come back or come back quick. So I was somewhat in tune with what was going on here.
So of all the things that I'm going to bring to you, I think the biggest centers around a job you do, and that is Stundua News. Crystal Presti was in last Wednesday, so a week ago, along with our friend, the Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Linendahl, who was back in studio, and she obviously was very sorry she missed you. Chris and her had never met. As one tends to do when filling in for Bogus, Stundua News becomes a big deal. It's your chance to shine, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to come up with a story. Sometimes they run it by us. Chris Lopresti's story he came up with was a woman is diagnosed with having two, I'll just say, vaginas.
Okay.
Pete allowed us to say that word on the air once.
Okay.
And she uses one for pleasure with her husband and one for making money, if you were, build business. She has like an OnlyFans account.
Wow.
Something like that.
Okay.
We wait to do some news for Katie to be in studio. And this is the story. So no, not like dead corpse left on, you know, son's couch for a week, you know, the walrus washing up on the shores of England, although that got a little naughty.
It did.
You know all the stuns you've done. Your thoughts and your approach if somebody had given you that stun and Katie being in studio first.
I mean, my first thought would just have been Pete, that Pete would not have survived that story. And I've definitely been suggested some really crude things by our great listeners.
Okay.
And oftentimes my response is Pete would not allow this. So I don't even think I would have gotten to Katie.
You would have cared more about Pete's reaction.
Yes.
Are you surprised Pete allowed us to say the V word on the air?
I'm surprised that he allowed the story to go on the air. I'm not surprised he put a cap on mentioning the V word.
So it was one of those things. So full disclosure, when you're out, because you usually keep track of the Stundua News that I've done, because they're your gimmick. The host, for the most part, Caserta, Schwartz, or the anchors, Lopresti will swing the door open to the little room me and Pete are in and say, hey, did anybody do this for Stundua News? And usually, like, Schwartz will come in, hey, there's a squirrel stuck in a grate in Germany.
Which, actually, I almost used today.
Yeah, that was, okay, Pete, that's fine. And there are times where, like, I might be mid pulling sound, where just, like, you listen to it, but you don't process it, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Lopresti did tell me and Pete, that's the dirty little secret, came in, hey, you guys do the story on the one with the two vaginas woman. And Pete, I remember Pete laughing. I remember laughing, knowing that's so wild. No, we didn't do it. But I didn't like think about like how do you talk about it on the air, nor the fact that we were going to do it. It was before Katie walked in the building. Yeah, Chris. So he sends the story, and me, DA, and Pete all click on this. As he starts to read it, we realize Katie's there. How do we do this? And DA basically calls a timeout and wants to clear with Pete that it's okay on the air. But anyway, it leads to him doing the story, and Katie is sitting there instead of reacting, dumbfounded, jaw dropped on the ground. And obviously, anybody listening, this is more for Bogus's reaction, because you guys might have obviously were part of this last week. And she looks at Chris on the air and goes, dude, I've never met you before, and this is the story you come up with? The chick with two boxes? Which just leads to this insane, can you believe Katie just said that? Can you believe Katie just said that?
Yeah. So, this is something that we have not dissected enough. We know a lot about Katie Lindendahl.
Yeah.
We know about tech guru, convention host, TV star, now country music singer.
Yeah.
Or Christian, I don't know what how she prefers to be labeled. But every once in a while, she just rolls out these little nuggets of how extra cool she might be that we don't normally see when she's on the Weather Channel,
yeah.
the Today Show, the big tech convention in Vegas, or on our show. We need, like, off the air, beers, wine, whatever she likes. We need a night of unfiltered, relaxed, in her element, Katie Lindendahl.
Well, Katie right now plans on coming to the Bob's Bar Show.
Look out.
So we maybe, if we get some extra time with Katie.
By noon on that Friday, look out.
Now, real quickly to end that, I did bring up this thought on the air. When coming to the end of the year, when we eventually get there, that was pulled as a 12 days of Christmas candidate. We are very fearful that that moment could get punished by you just being forgetful or rolling over because you weren't here. And thus the vote. Remember, the votes were a big controversy this past 12 days of Christmas. I did bring up that one could suffer based on you not being here.
So I actually think, if I'm remembering my mistakes in the past, it's the ones that I thought I remembered that I maybe didn't pay enough attention to. The ones that I needed to be reminded of maybe have done better. So I think I'll have to, I did not know that happened until you told me today.
It does sound intriguing to listen to.
I missed it live last week. So I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to listen to this again to have an actual vote on it to close the year. So I don't think that's a concern.
Now, the other concern we had is, and we did the math. We are, as you know, we love to joke around about days off. Use your days off when you want. I don't think that there has been a person in DA show history that's taken a full week off and then bled in 2 days into another week until you in Ireland.
Okay.
Which is fine. You're taking your family on a wonderful, maybe once-in-a-lifetime vacation. But we did ask, with 7 days used off, this following, Pete the Body, who handles days off, saying on his own days off, I have days to burn.
Yeah.
Do you feel less pressure and anxiety about using that many vacation days, knowing the czar of days off himself is saying, I have days to burn in March?
Well, for accounting purposes, I did miss 7 days, but I only technically used 5 vacation days.
Oh.
There was one day, because we all worked on President's Day, which is a company holiday. So instead of being off that day, we can shift those hours to a different day off. So that was one of the 2 remaining. And the other is we have personal days, which you're most likely or most suggested you use for religious holidays that are not on our holiday calendar. So I use one of those for Easter. Now, was I not celebrating Easter in America? Yes. And I was already on a trip. So for accounting purposes, 5 vacation days, 1 personal day,
1 holiday,
1 banked comp day.
So okay.
I don't have days to burn. Somebody tweeted me about that while I was gone, and there's a big difference between me going on a 7-9 vacation to Bilotti just taking back-to-back Fridays and Mondays off because he has days to burn.
Oh, we agree.
That's not the same thing.
We agree, but we do wonder now if everybody, now that Pete is on the record of saying days to burn on his own days, if more people are like, you know what? I'm not even going to think twice about this extra day now. You know, maybe I will make my vacation a little longer.
And not to go too far behind the curtain here, but there's all sorts of, we're all playing on different fields when it comes to vacation days. Like Pete, who's technically an off-air person, he, I think, has unlimited days until it gets to a point where it's obscene and a boss calls him on
it. Sick days, I think.
No, like people are like regular office people, like sales and marketing.
Oh, really?
It's like, I forget what the fancy HR term for it is, but as long as your work is done and you're not falling behind, you have like infinity days off.
Oh, interesting.
Now, I think the caveat is you're supposed to be always reachable. You can't be like, I'm going to Greece for 9 days, leave me alone. You can go for 9 days.
But those are vacations.
But you got to check email and stuff like that.
Okay.
You can't be just gone off the grid. So like, I think that's where Pete works from. You and I and DA as on-air people in a different union, we actually have a capped number. Now, yours is different from mine, and DA probably has more than both of us. But So we're working from like different setups here.
Interesting.
And plus, you know, Pete's nice and David Marinick is nice. And if we need a day that you don't necessarily have,
they could look the other way.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe I'll work on Black Friday or whatever, make up for it. So there's all different ways to configure things. Mm. We've been here 11 years. We know how to game the system.
Sure.
More discreetly than Pete.
Look, I just had to throw it out there. I didn't know if Pete had opened the floodgates with that comment and then you followed up with quite a few days off.
He opened up different floodgates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we better get out of here before my floodgates open on this colonoscopy prep. How about that for a tie-in?
Love it.
All right. Where can we get you on Twitter, Bogues?
At Food is Delicious.
You can follow me at Screw You. Thanks for listening to the PGP.